I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. If you would, bring my stool. Father, I thank you this afternoon for those who have come to hear the word of God. I thank you that the Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of liberty is here. And I thank you, Lord, that as we come, your word says if two of us touch and agree on earth as having anything, we can have it. So, Lord, we touch and agree today that signs, miracles, and wonders are going to follow our lives. Signs, miracles, and wonders follow are going to follow our faith. And Lord, as we come today in the name of Jesus, we know he's in the midst of us. So we thank you in advance for doing only what you can do. And that is, Father, to heal us, to deliver us, and to set us free. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Can everybody say amen, amen? You may be seated. I did not do this in the first two services, but because I'm remembering now, if you are in any form of pain, I need you to stand up. Any form of pain, I want you to stand up. Any pain, physical pain right now, physical pain right now, if you would, stand up. All right. Now, notice the numbers are decreasing. Yes, that's a good thing. Okay. And then don't let the devil play tricks on you and be like, well, you stood up last time, you didn't get healed. Well, here's the thing. We plant as men. We plant and we water, but God is the one that gives the increase. Amen. Listen, Naaman, I'm talking to somebody right now. Naaman had to dip in the river 7 times before he got healed. What if he'd have dipped 6? He wouldn't have seen the healing. So don't let, you know, if that's the case. So those of you who are standing, I'm asking you to stand because I'm going to pray that God brings pain-freeness to you before the end of the service. Yeah. Now, can it happen after service? Yes, but I'm in faith for it to happen while we're here. Okay. So what I'm going to ask you to do after I pray is when you sit back down, when your pain is gone, and I want you to pay attention to yourself while you're here. When your pain is physically gone, and I'm not talking about gone by faith. I'm talking about where it's gone. You can't feel it no more. And it's gone. I want you to stand up just like you're doing, and I want you to wave at me. So I want y'all to practice. Go on and practice and wave at me. Wave at me. Right, right. Now, don't do this. Don't sit in your seat and do it because I'm going to think you're waving at me. And I'm just going to wave back at you. No. I want you to stand up. You say, well, I'm going to interrupt the service. Well, the reason I'm doing it this way is so people can see that God heals, so when they need healing, they can receive it as well. So, yes. So I'm going to ask for some people that are close to you to touch you in an appropriate place, like on your arm or whatever, because the scripture says if two of us touch and agree. So I'm going to ask somebody to touch you. And then I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. And the scripture says the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. So I'm in expectation, and I don't do things that I don't think God can do. Here's the beautiful thing about this. He said, if we pray for the sick and we lay hands on them, they shall recover. That's my expectation. And I believe you believe God can do it or you wouldn't have stood up. So Father, right now, I thank you for every person that's standing. I thank you because you told us we can speak to the mountain, tell it to be removed and cast into the sea. And you said, and not doubt in our heart, but believe that those things which we speak to or say shall come to pass. We shall have whatsoever we say. So, Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare for the pain in the bodies of every person who's standing up to go in Jesus' name. I say, pain, you go in Jesus' name. I say, Father, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord, I declare complete healing. In the name of Jesus, we say, pain, you can't stay in this body. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I say, Holy Ghost, on the inside of each person, go into every cell, go into every bone, go into every muscle, go into every piece of their body, and bring peace in the name of Jesus. And I speak peace to dis-ease and disease. And Lord, we thank you that before the service is out, you're going to touch their bodies. And we thank you in advance for it in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, thank him for it and give him a hand clap. Thank him for your healing. Say, thank you, Lord, for my healing. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. All right, so several things have happened today. The first service, I did a message that I want you to go back and watch. Well, you don't actually, I don't know if we're going to post all three services because that's unusual to post three different ones. But for sure, the 8 o'clock, the 8:30 message, I did it, and it was to married people. But it was talking about the having a kingdom marriage mindset. And so before I left the house, I felt the Lord really wanted me to do that to the singles. And so I altered the message a little bit because here's the thing. If you can get the right mindset while you are single, then you can have a successful relationship when you do get married. So I did that in the second service. Now, in this service, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the original message that I had set up for the two single messages. So this is, you know, first time, three different messages today. So if you want to know what I said in the second message, just go and watch it. If you want to know what I said in the first one, go and watch it. So today in this one, I want to talk about, and they don't even have the notes to it. See, that's the thing. So I want to talk about pleasing the king. And if I had the subtitle of the message, it would be, please the king before you get a ring. Please the king before you get a ring, because many people want a ring. And I'm not just talking about just the women, because men have to have a ring too. But many times what happens is singles want a ring. The problem is they haven't learned to please the king. So if you're here today and you're married, then just sit through this service because I think it'll motivate you to make your marriage work, okay? You can see people here that want to get married, so hopefully that'll motivate you. So I want to jump into all the points, and some of the verses they may have back there and some of the verses they may not have back there, but I'm just going to go with what I have. So pull up 2 Timothy chapter 2. They should have that. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Because I want to talk about the life of a soldier. Because you say, well, why a soldier? Because we have been enlisted in the army of the Lord. Each one of you have been put in the kingdom for such a time as this. And so I want to read 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the point that I want to make here is entanglement hinders your enlistment. Entanglement hinders your enlistment. You say, well, what does that mean? Okay, let's read the verse and you'll see. Because see, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, by default, you became enlisted into the army of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading out of the King James Version. Verse 1, it says, thou therefore, this was Paul talking to Timothy. He says, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things that you have heard me among many witnesses. That the same, I want you to commit this teaching that I'm giving to you. He says, I want you to commit them to faithful men who are able to teach others also. Here's verse 3. He says, I need you to endure hardness as what? A good soldier. Or what kind of soldier? A good soldier of Jesus Christ. So now he's comparing Timothy as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, if we're going to be a soldier, that means we are in his army. He says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth or fights entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Why? So he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So just look at somebody and ask them, are you entangled? Let me read that in the NIV version. He says, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses. Entrust this to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. He says, join with me in suffering like a good soldier. Everybody say a good soldier. He says, I want you to join me like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He says, no one serving as a soldier gets what, church? Gets what? Gets entangled. Look at your neighbor again and ask him, are you entangled? He says, no soldier gets entangled, watch this now, in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. So as singles, your primary focus as a single person is to please God. Everybody say, please God. Please God. And it is very difficult to please God if you are entangled. And see, watch this. Many Christians are entangled and they don't even know that they're entangled. There are single Christians sitting in this room right now having an affair. So just look at somebody else and tell them, are you having an affair? Go on and ask them. You say, well, Pastor, how can I have an affair? I'm not married. That's what you might be saying, but the reason you might be having an affair is because you're cheating on him, watch this, with you. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Watch this. Whoever you please the most is who you are devoted to the most. I'm going to say that again. Whoever you please the most is who you are devoted to the most. And I'm saying to you, you are cheating on Jesus with you because you're pleasing you more than you are him. Amen. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 2:3. He says, endure hardness as what kind of soldier? A good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars or fights entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Why? Because if you entangle yourself with the affairs of this life, you won't be able to please him who has chosen you to be a soldier. Now, that word entangle it means to entwine, to become twisted, or get involved with. So here's my question. Because you may be thinking, well, I'm not involved with nobody. My question to you is, are you so involved with you? Are you so twisted with you? Are you so trying to please you that you're not pleasing him who sent you? And so one of the ways a single person can please God is by not getting entangled or twisted or caught up with what I'm going to call civilian life. See, civilian life, if you notice, when you're enlisted, they don't let them hang out with civilians a lot. Now, if you're what they call in reserves, you know, that's when you can kind of work and be part of the military. But for the most part, they want you focused. So the only time they let you out, that's how I'm going to say it. When they let you off base and let you is when you have taken off or you have time off. And even in instances like that, they still want you to wear your uniform. Why? Because they want you to remember and they want the people around you to know that I'm enlisted. And watch this. My uniform is proof of who I'm serving. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, it talks about athlete training, but I want to talk about it from a sense that soldiers are disciplined. And that's one of the things that you're going to have to gather as a single person is to really get a disciplined life. And a disciplined life is going to help you now, but it's also going to help you later. Watch 1 Corinthians 9, 25. It says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. He says, so I run. This is Paul talking. He says, I run with purpose. With what, church? He says, I run with purpose in every step. He says, I'm not just shadow boxing. I'm not just throwing punches at nothing. He says, no, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Because if I don't do that, he says, otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. And that's why, as a soldier, you don't need to deal with civilians on a regular basis. You say, what do I mean by that? The Bible tells us to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. There's a reason for that, right? And a good soldier is a disciplined soldier. Do you know a good soldier obeys God on a regular basis? You say, well, Pastor, I'm working on it. That's good, because God's not expecting, you know, he's not looking for perfection, but he's looking at progress. But see, there's a point that you can reach where the Bible talks about where, you know, it talks about eating meat as the word. It says, you know, those who are skillful in the word, it's like eating meat. And once you learn the meat of God's word, it says this, that you will learn how to discern good and evil with just your senses. There's a point you can get to that you know enough word that it allows you to discern what's good and what's not. I mean, you have the Holy Spirit for discernment, but I'm talking about you can have the word so much in you that it automatically picks up and discerns things. Okay, so y'all know this story. Most of y'all, I don't know, because it's third service, so we kind of have some of everybody. But years ago when I was single the first time, right? So I'm outside washing my car. I live with this lady named Miss Johnson. She's, I don't know, Miss Johnson was probably in her 70s. Her husband was in a nursing home, so that's how old they were. He was in a nursing home. She was living in this big old house by herself. So when I got recruited from Texas to move to Ohio, this company moved me. My mom owned a daycare center. And two of the kids that went to the daycare center, one of them is actually famous now. Y'all ever heard of Chris Bosch, who played basketball? Well, Chris Bosch used to be at my mother's daycare center. And so when I was leaving to go to Ohio, Chris Bosch's mom is from Ohio. So she told my mom, hey, maybe Evan can stay with grandma when he moves down there until he finds him a place. So I didn't have a problem with that. So when I moved to Ohio, I moved with this lady named Miss Johnson. Well, I never moved out of Miss Johnson's house. Miss Johnson cooked for me. I ain't talking about that now. I ain't talking about no hamburger helper stuff either. I mean, Miss Johnson, we're talking about greens and mashed. I mean, she cooked, and Miss Johnson cooked for me. Miss Johnson washed my clothes. Miss Johnson made sure spring cleaning cleaned my room up. She cleaned my bathroom. Why do I need to leave Miss Johnson's house? Oh, no, this is a prelude of marriage. Praise the Lord. I mean, if God is using Miss Johnson to do that, then what is he going to do when Miss Connor comes? Praise the Lord. How many know Miss Connor don't do that? But anyway, Miss Connor don't have to. We pay somebody. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's how you do. That's what increase is for. So anyway, I'm at Miss Johnson's. I've been living there for like 4 years. She lived on the corner, and her house was where there was a long street. The first half of the street was a two-way street. The other half, where I live, was a one-way. So if you lived at the top of this part, you got to come down. You don't ever go up. So I'm outside washing my car, and these two women drive down the car down the street in the car together, and I look up at them because, you know, sometimes it's your neighbors, and you want to make sure you speak to your neighbors, because there was a couple of guys I played basketball with and stuff. So I look up, and they wave, and I wave, and, you know, they kept going, and the Holy Spirit said, distraction. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, they're not a distraction. I didn't give them my phone number. They didn't stop and ask me for mine. This ain't a distraction. Well, they looped back around, came back down the street again, and this time they stopped. Introduced themselves, how you doing? I'm like, oh, how you doing? I'm Evan. That was it. I gave them my name. They gave me their name. That was it. They told me, oh, we live right, almost like right across the street, but just up a little bit. And I was thinking, well, I ain't never seen, 4 years I've been living here. I've never seen them. So they drive off and the Lord says, distraction. I'm thinking, it's not a distraction. I didn't give them my phone number. She didn't give me hers and we're good. Well, the next day, because back in those days, they gave out phone books. Y'all know what a phone book is? How many don't know what a phone book is? Right? Okay, it's a big old fat book right here. And the phone companies would give these books out for free. You would wake up and on your porch would be a big old phone book. In that phone book was everybody's name. By last name and then first name, and it gave you their address and their phone number. Well, she went through the phone book and saw Miss Johnson. She knew Miss Johnson lived there. So she looked up Miss Johnson's phone and she called the house. Well, I didn't get a lot of calls because I'm not from there. And Miss Johnson says, Evan, telephone's for you. And I'm thinking, who is this? Get on the phone. Guess who it is? Miss Distraction. She done called a brother. And see, let me tell you something. This is for somebody, Lord Jesus. Distractions are not always ugly. The devil don't send what you don't like. He know how you like him. Tall, dark, bald, and handsome. He already know your type, girl. He know your type, man. He know. And so she was a beautiful lady. Educated, all the stuff in the natural, you know. So anyway, I was like, so we talked a little bit, and then we talked a little bit more, and then we talked a little bit more. And so then I was like, okay, well, she seemed like all her values are the same. Her parents are believers and all this kind of stuff. So it all looked right on paper. Check, check, save, check. Goes to church, check. Pays their tithe, check. Is involved. I'm talking to somebody though. Involved in ministry. Check. All of that. But just because they meet all your checks doesn't mean they meet God's check. And for some reason, she did not meet God's check. Even though I was checking. So we went out a couple of times. That was pretty much it. And I'll never forget, I was like, you know what? Now, back then, I was like, look, I ain't gonna go out with you. I ain't going to be dating nobody for 25 years. And I'm not going to waste my money, my mind, or my resources on nobody that I'm not supposed to be with. So I told her, I said, you know what? I want to pray before we, like, get involved. Because I want to make sure that I'm supposed to be doing this. So, you know, she was fine with that. You know, I guess, you know, most men ain't gonna pray. So she's like, I gotta pray, man, dude. So anyway, prayed about it. And this is where most people go wrong. They hear the Lord talk to them and say, she the one. Because, you know, I heard a voice say she was the one. But you know what that voice was? The flesh. It wasn't the spirit. It was the flesh. But I didn't know it was the flesh. And let me tell you why I didn't know it was the flesh. Because she, all the check marks, she checked off all the boxes. And see, this is why I'm going back to what I said. When you know the word, you'll be able to discern both good and evil with your senses. So she checked all the boxes, okay? So if a person is, I'm talking to somebody right now. They checking all the boxes. But the question is, are they checking God's box? So anyway, I knew better back then than to just let my ears hear what I thought God said. Because if God's talking to you, he's going to confirm the word. Then signs will follow. He don't give you a sign and then follow the word. It's the word and then signs follow. So anyway, I kept praying about it because I knew I needed to get in the word.
And that's when I ran into that verse. This is my favorite verse. He says, you did run well, Evan. Who did hinder you? And the next part of that verse says, this person came not from him that called you. He basically said, Evan, I didn't send her. Well, I'm glad I didn't get too involved and entangled, because that's my point. I didn't get entangled with this girl, because had I got entangled with her, it would have been harder for me to get out. So soldiers must be disciplined. Soldiers must carry themselves in a certain way because they know they're representing their country. Here's point number two, and I'm talking about pleasing the king. Well, pleasing God increases you. Oh, we got one healing right over here. Give her a hand clap. Praise the Lord. Pleasing God increases you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is so good. I hope you get this. He says in verse 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk, and please God. I want you to notice he's telling them that the instructions that they got on how they need to walk and how they need to please God, it came from him. And so somebody needs to be giving you instructions in life on how you need to walk and how you need to please God. So he says, I hope you've received from us how you ought to walk and please God. And here's why. He said, because if you walk right and you please God, you will abound more and more. Now, when you look that word, first of all, when you look the word please up, it means to strive to please, or watch this, this is good, to accommodate oneself to the opinions, the desires, and the interests of another. So what he was saying here, that when you please God, you are accommodating God, you are leaning to please him with your desires and your interests. But then the word abound means to increase. When you please God, it will produce increase for your life. Now, I'm going to save about 10 minutes, and I'm going to do something I ain't never done, and I'm going to ask some questions. I'm going to help y'all to ask some questions. So I was doing a house blessing, me and First Lady. This particular single person, very accomplished, beautiful lady, beautiful house. I'm like, next level house, right? And we were talking, I was talking about, okay, well, praise the Lord. It looks like it's about time for you to meet your next level man. So this could be y'all vacation home. And she used the term. She was like, because she contemplated even buying the house. Because, you know, women tend to put their dreams on the shelf by saying, well, I'm going to wait till I get a house with my man. No, you don't wait to get no house for no man. Thank you for that one clap. So anyway, baby, do you remember the term she used? She used a term. She said she didn't want to... Yeah, no, that was what it does. She didn't, you know, she was like, I don't want a man to think that, what was the word? No. Come on, throw it out. Give me a word. Give me the word. No, who? Out what? Oh, she said, I don't want to outprice the man. Is that right? Oh, okay, they text her. They said she didn't want to outprice him. In other words, if she does too much, then it could either intimidate the man, like you're saying, or she does too much, then, you know, a guy might be like, well, shoot, I'll just let her do all the work now. Right? So, but you got to remember, when you please God, he's going to cause you to abound. But just like you're striving to please God so you can abound, God's got a man on the other side who's trying to please him so he can abound as well. So you don't have faith that God can send a man just like you? You faithful to God? He is too. You trust in God? He is too. You're striving and prospering in God? He is too. Say amen to that. So now, one of the things that I feel single people need to understand as they're pleasing the king, as a soldier, is that they really have to understand the weapons that they got. Okay? Because most people, they know they have weapons, but they don't know how to use them. 2 Corinthians 10 talks about it. You can just write it down, where he says the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not fleshly, but they're mighty through God. So as a believer, as a single believer, you need to understand what your weapons are. And then you need to understand who you're using your weapons against. That's why it says we need to put on the whole armor of God. Why? So that we are able to stand against the wild. We got one more healing back there in the back. Come on. She sat down. She, back in the green back there. There she is right there. You better wave, girl. So as believers, as single people, you got to understand your weapons and you have to understand your enemy, because his tricks don't change. He just uses them on different people. He's going to still use loneliness. He's going to still use, you know, you don't feel you're good enough. He's going to use those same things. But you got to know your weapons. And here's the last one, and I'm going to do, somebody get a mic ready. Here's the last one. I know I'm jumping all over the place, but here's one that if I could just give you all a COVID shot, this is what I would put in it. If I could give you a shot, here's what I would put in that needle. I would put serving in that needle. Watch what Paul said to the Philippian church about this man named Epaphroditus. He says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, can y'all find that for me? There it is. He says, yet I suppose it's necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Now, I want you to listen to the description of Epaphroditus. He says, Epaphroditus is my what? My brother. What else? He's my what else? Companion in labor. And here's the third one. What else? Fellow soldier. In other words, Epaphroditus was a soldier. He was a servant. And he goes on to say, he was a fellow soldier and a messenger. But watch this. But he that ministered to my wants, he was a servant. And I'm about to say something to you that you may not have ever heard before. We got one more healing back there in the back. Praise the Lord. I'm about to drop this bomb on you. Did you know? Because, you know, especially in the church world, everybody's waiting on Boaz. Girl, you waiting on your Boaz? I'm waiting on my Boaz too. But here's what most people don't know, is the way Ruth got Boaz is because he heard she was a servant. Back, go to Ruth chapter 2, verse 10. I'm going to close right here. Ruth chapter 2, verse 10. When Ruth was serving, now remember, Ruth had made a commitment to Naomi. She married Naomi's son. Naomi's son died. So Naomi told her two daughter-in-laws, look, go, because they were Moabites anyway. Go back to your own hometown. Go back to your mom and your dad's house, because that's typically what single women did, or widow. They go back to your family and go with them. And so the other girl did. Her name was Oprah. And then Ruth was like, well, no, I'm just going to stay with you. And she was like, wait a minute, I can't have no more kids for you to even wait for another son. And this is what Ruth said to her. She says, you know what? Wherever you go, I go. Your people is going to be my people, and your God is going to be my God. She had a commitment to this lady named Naomi. Well, guess what happened? So Naomi went back to her hometown. When she got there, of course, everybody was like, hey, Naomi's back, that kind of thing, right? So now Ruth and Naomi got hungry. So Ruth went out to get food for both. What we got? Oh, hey. All right. Ruth went out to get some food. So she went to this field that was owned by this man named Boaz. I'm giving you the short version of the story. And then Boaz owned this field. But watch this. But he was a kinsman to Naomi. He was like, you know, like a second or third cousin. Okay, so that's how down the line it went. So I don't know if Ruth knew that, but she went to this field. So now watch verse 10. Because Boaz started showing her favor. Because what she was doing what they call gleaning. Back in those days, you know, let's say it was a cornfield. When it was time for harvest, the people would be out there harvesting them, and sometimes they would be going so fast, they would drop some. And so what they told them, look, let the poor people come and buy back behind y'all and pick up what you drop. Don't go back and get it. Let the poor people go. So Ruth was gleaning in Boaz's field. So now watch what happened. He started treating her nice. Ruth chapter 2 verse 10. It says, Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Oh, they got it. She says to Boaz, what have I done to deserve such kindness? She asked. I'm only a foreigner. Watch what he says. Yes, I know, Boaz replied, but I also know about everything you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wing you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done. Now, when you read the King James, it pretty much outlines and shows that Ruth served Naomi. So here's my point to you. Okay, I'm going to just say it blunt. You ready? Okay, men, just act like you're not in here right now. Okay? I'll get to you because, see, you got more choices. I'm talking to the ladies right now. You want a man? Serve the man. If you want a man, and see, your carnal mind will say, but what if who I need to meet, they don't see me serving? Boaz didn't see her serving either, but if you go and read it, he heard about her service. So I want to challenge y'all, because see, the devil, he's smart. All this time you wasted over here, over there, when you really need to lock in serving. I'm talking about giving it all you got. I mean, you ought to be, look, they ought to be able to, they ought to give you keys to the church you hear. Get the keys to Sister Jones. She the first, she's sitting in the parking lot waiting for everybody to get here. No, I'm telling you, your service will catch the attention of Jesus. And that's what made the woman who gave his feet a bath with her alabaster box, it made her famous. Her serving him. He says, you know what? People are going to talk about her forever. So here's where I want to stop, because I want to be very bold and answer some questions that a single lady would like to ask, or a man, because I've been single and I'm a man, that you'd like for somebody of my status and caliber to answer.